Last Lord's Day, we celebrated the Lord's Supper. A feast of love is what I called it. There were 65 of us who proclaimed the Lord's death until He comes again. As we came together in the salvation that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself up for us on Calvary's cross. In His love, we came together in our love, one for another. The last verse of the passage that we considered as we made our way to the Lord's table. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. As I pondered the last six verses of this third chapter of 1 John, I asked myself the question, and I ask you the question as well. How well did we do in this last week expressing love one for another? Not simply in word or talk, but love in deed and in truth. Let's turn to that third chapter of 1 John. And we'll be reading those last six verses, 19 through 24. We remember that the written word of God is indeed profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That the man of God may be competent, indeed equipped, for every good work. Hear then the word of God. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. By this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Let's pray. Father, again, write these Your words upon our hearts, that we might go forth conquering doubts. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. By this we shall know that we are of the truth. Certainly, it begs the question, what is it to which the word this refers? And I trust that you all agree with me that that word this in that 19th verse certainly does point us back to that 18th verse. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So the 19th verse of our passage reads, by our acts of love, not our words or talk of love, we shall know that we are of the truth. So I ask us again that question. Have we expressed our love for one another faithfully and diligently in this past week? We were all shocked. We were all shocked by that tragedy that took place in Newtown, Connecticut. And we're left with a host of questions. What causes a 20-year-old young man to gun down his mother in her home, drive to the elementary school where she taught, and gun down 18 children and 6 adults, and apparently take his own life? We learned that 2 other children died in the hospital after the incident. 20 children, ages 5 through 10, 6 adults, and the shooter. 27 people lost their lives on Friday. This was clearly an expression of hatred in action and not in word or talk only. What John brings to our attention as little children is whether our deeds of love enable us to know that we are of the truth. John brings the matter of doubt or a condemning heart right down to our doorsteps. We question God's love when 20 children are murdered in cold blood. John wants us to question our own love. Is it in action? Or is in word only? You see, if we're not walking in love, we're not of the truth. Our heart is reassured before God if we love in deed and in truth and not in word or talk only. So John begins by reminding us of expressions of condemnation, of expressions of condemnation and the heart there in that 19th verse and the beginning of verse 20. By this we know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, John uses that word whenever. By doing so, he indicates that our hearts indeed at times do condemn us. Our hearts do begin to make us wonder whether or not we really are Christians because we're not loving as perfectly as we ought to love. John talks a lot about love in this letter, doesn't he? It's in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter that he begins that conversation of love, as he talks to us as a congregation of the people of God, and he impresses upon us that as we love one another, Christ's physical body here on this earth, we show forth the love of Christ in such a way that the world knows that we are His disciples. And a little later in that 2nd chapter, he says that when we are in Christ, our love is not like the love of the world. The love of the world is a selfish love. But our love is selfless. And he picks up that theme of love. And he runs through it, beginning in verse 11 of the chapter that we're considering. And then he says, little children, let us not love in word or talk. but in deed and in truth. Expressions of condemnation certainly do well up in our hearts. How are we to go about conquering doubt? How are we to go about conquering doubt when our hearts condemn us? John next speaks of expressions of God and the heart. Expressions of God and the heart. God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. There are indeed times that we must confess we fail to love as we ought to love. And we will fail again to love as we ought to love. But we must be persuaded that God is greater than our heart. In fact, when our heart condemns us that we aren't loving as we ought to love, we need to realize that it's only because of God's great love for us that we have experienced in Christ Jesus that we have a sense of condemnation when we don't love as we ought to love. Because it's the experience of His wonderful love that has brought us to our repentance and faith, that we have a sense of, I need to love as I have been loved. You see, the desire to love selflessly only comes because we have experienced the love of Him who loved us sacrificially. And so I want us to think about that passage in John chapter 21. That passage in John chapter 21, and specifically verses 15 through 17. When we think about God who is greater than our heart and God who knows all things. And if you're familiar with that passage, you remember that that's that passage where Jesus and Peter have that famous dialogue. But we need to set the stage for that dialogue, don't we? It was at the Last Supper that Jesus says to Peter, before the rooster crows to welcome the dawn, you'll deny me three times. Not I. And the next thing he hears from his Savior is, put your sword away. After he lopped the ear of Malchus off. And then, after his resurrection, and after Jesus has eaten breakfast, he begins this conversation with Peter. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Regardless of the fact that he changes from agape to phileo there in that third question, what we need to hear is what's there in that 17th verse. Jesus said to Peter a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Expressions of God and the heart. We need to hear these expressions of love. But though we would deny Christ three times, and let's face it, how many times have we denied Him? And our lack of demonstrable love one for another that goes beyond word and talk. I know You love me because I first loved You. You rejoice that God knows everything. You rejoice that God knows your heart, even when your heart would condemn you, that He knows your heart. Next, we have expressions of confidence. Expressions of confidence in the heart. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. Right away, at the very outset of that verse, what does John say? Beloved. Beloved. You who are wrestling with whether or not you love as you ought to love, I call you My beloved. Oh, how I've loved you. And it's because of that great love I have for you that you may have confidence in your heart. And that confidence in your heart will be expressed in the way you pray. You will ask knowing that you'll receive, and you'll ask knowing that you'll receive because you love My commandments. You delight in doing My commandments. It's your heart's pleasure to please Me. You see, our hearts cannot condemn us when we know that we're loved by God. Because God loved us when we were condemnable. And He sent His Son to die for us so that we would not be condemned. And it's because we know that great love that He expressed to us in Christ Jesus so that He can call us the beloved. That when we draw near to Him in prayer, we are confident that that for which we ask, we will receive. And we know how much He desires that His name would be hallowed in all the earth. We know how much He desires that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know how much He gives us our daily bread. We know how He forgives our sins. Oh. But we have to be careful, don't we? Because He teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others their sins." Oh, that we love in deed and truth, and not just in word or talk. Our confidence in prayer is indeed encouraged by that reminder that we find in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 9, 10, and 11. Lord Jesus compares the character of his Father who hears prayer and gives good gifts to that evil father who knows how to give good gifts even though that father's evil. And then Jesus himself is the one who said to us, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Expressions of confidence and the heart with respect to prayer. Prayer that's rooted and grounded in a desire to please our God every day of our lives. Ask. Ask. And you will receive, that your joy may be full. When we enjoy union with Jesus, his righteousness is ours so that we love the law. We keep his commandments. And we delight to do what pleases God. And so this leads us to expressions of faith and the heart. Expressions of faith and the heart. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. This is the commandment. We believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, scripturally we may talk about the offer of the gospel. But more times than not, we find Acts 17:30 as the more faithful expression with respect to the gospel. The time is fulfilled. I'm sorry, the times of ignorance God overlooked. But now he commands everyone, everywhere, to repent. And what does it mean to repent? It means to make that 180-degree turn in our lifestyle. Oh, if only Adam Lanza had repented, there wouldn't be dead 25 to 10-year-olds. There wouldn't be dead 6 adults, including his mother. And his life would still exist on this earth. If he'd only repented. If when we are angry, we must repent. We must turn from that anger. Cry out for the Spirit to manifest love and joy. We'll get to that in a moment. We repent and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. I think it's the first record of anything that came from the lips of Jesus as he began his public ministry. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Expressions of faith. Do I believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ? Is he my Savior? Is he the anointed of God who is the prophet and the priest and the king who motivates my life as such? So that I go forth in him as that prophet, as that priest, as that king, exercising Christ in all of life. Do I know him to be my Savior? And is he the one who is my Lord? Conquering doubts. Conquering doubts. Expressions of condemnation. Expressions of God. Expressions of confidence. Expressions of faith. And you see, when we have Christ as the focus of our faith, we love our brothers and sisters in Him. The command is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. You see how intricately woven the command to know Jesus as Lord and Savior is with love. We can't say we have Him as our Lord and Savior if we don't have love. We'll see that later in the fifth chapter. But that great exchange there in Romans chapter 5 and verses 12 through 21 gives us that great encouragement that we who once were identified with the first Adam, now as we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're identified in Him who is the second Adam. And just picking verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. You see, when we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, we have a righteousness that is alien of our own. We have a righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. And so in conclusion, expressions of the Spirit. Expressions of the Spirit in the heart. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God and God in Him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit that He has given us. By the Spirit that He has given us. We can't miss what John tells us. When we abide in His commandments, He abides in us. The only way we can abide in His commandments is to have Him abiding in us. And the way He abides in us, the Scripture tells us over and over and over again, is that the Spirit of God comes and dwells within us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit individually. But more than that, you see, far more than that, John is talking to us as the fellowship of the saints. And as he's saying, you see, as we, the household of faith, keep His commandments and enjoy His abiding in us, we know that He is ours and we are His. And the Spirit bears testimony with our spirit that indeed is the case. And that's what Paul tells us in Romans, doesn't he? Chapter 8 and verses 15 through 17. We have no longer the spirit of fear, but we now have the spirit of adoption. Oh, Daddy, Father. Conquering doubts is knowing who our Daddy is because the Holy Spirit is bearing testimony with our spirits that we are born of God. And you see, when we have the expressions of the Spirit and the heart, we have what Paul would say there in Galatians chapter 5. Isn't that one of the clearest evidences of the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're the children of God by the love, by the joy, by the peace, by the patience, that long suffering, that kindness, that goodness, that faithfulness, that gentleness, that self-control that we find ourselves exuding because we're animated by the Spirit of God. Not the spirit of this world. For the spirit of this world ultimately manifests its anger by destroying the lives of people. Why, Mom? Why the students in the classroom, in the school where she taught? Why the administration of that school? His anger was no longer in word and talk, but anger manifested itself in deed. So when we are those who speak of love and talk of love, may it show itself in deeds of love. Our condemning heart is conquered when we truly assess its accusations to know whether we are loving one another as we ought. And when it does condemn us, we must listen to God and remember Jesus' encounter with Peter, who at the end of the dialogue rested in the assurance that Jesus knew everything. Jesus knew that Peter loved him because Jesus loved him. Our prayer life is infused with confidence such that doubts are conquered because we love the commandments of God and desire to please Him. And it only makes sense because as the commandments of God abide in us, we know that He abides in us. And Romans 8:15 through 17 is so true. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed children of God. So doubts are conquered by our belief in the name of Jesus Christ, our love for our brothers, our prayers answered by God, and our animation by the Spirit. Amen. Father, we pray that this portion of your word will be written large on our hearts, that our doubts will be dispelled because of who you are and what you're doing and have done. And may we go forth as more than conquerors in him who conquered and gave himself for us, coming forth from the grave, seated now at your right hand. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.